What's up? Welcome to episode 239 of PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM with us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
Izzy will not be here. He is busy today. He says he's sorry for missing so many. I tell him all the time, hey, don't worry about it, man. Stuff comes up.
Mm-hmm.
No biggie. Not that there's much to talk about anyways. So we can just go ahead and jump right into it. I guess the biggest bit of news is that the beta for the 4.5 update for PS4 is the invites went out this week. I'm currently in it as well. But there's some interesting stuff that came out. First, it was, you know, oh, here's some overview. Like, you can have an external hard drive and put games on it. And then you can do custom backgrounds with your own pictures you took. So I tried that. So I have one of my Uncharted 4 4K shots as the background. And then a couple other things. 3D Blu-ray support in PSVR. And then buried in some text on the Japanese side, there was rumors of a boost mode, and then Sony confirmed it later the same day that indeed there is a boost mode coming to PS4 Pro that will enhance some games that weren't pro patched prior to the Pro's release. But the basically all this really will do is if a game is capped at 30 and has trouble hitting that and has frame rate dips, there's a possibility that with the boost mode, you will consistently hit 30 frames a second more frequently than you would on the base PS4. People have showed comparison videos of Bloodborne. And while people don't know how to do fucking comparison videos who aren't Digital Foundry or, you know, a news organization, they don't put a label on it. Like, here it is off, here it is on. And so you can tell, you just had to guess. And traditionally it's boost off, boost on is how people will use the footage. But then there's people who do boost on, then boost off. And I'm like, you motherfuckers. I'm like, just put a label in the corner. Go in a program. Like, clearly you're able to put video together. Just give it a fucking tag. But but yeah, people have shown some videos. The Bloodborne one didn't look like it was that much of an improvement. I mean, the game already runs at 30 frames anyways. So it's not like, usually, unless you get a pretty significant dip in frames on 30, it's like even like a 28 or 29, like I wouldn't tell. And I'm curious if, I'm hoping Digital Foundry does a nice comparison video, but that's if they're in the beta. Because I feel like they would be the best to do it. Plus, because there was someone else who reported that, so in Rainbow Six Siege, when you play Terrorist Hunt, the game gets locked at 30. Then they introduced a patch that allowed you to turn off VSync, which then let you play uncapped, so closer to 60. But you'd get more screen tearing because you turned VSync off. But yeah, people that were playing on with the boost mode on were saying that they're getting 110 frames a second. Now, they didn't have like a frame counter. I guess they just assumed. I don't know how exactly they did it. There was no video explaining like, this is how, you know, I calculated the extra frames I'm getting. I don't know.
If you can't see a frame counter, how many frames do you know you're getting?
Yeah, I mean,
you're not counting that shit.
It looked pretty super smooth, but I don't know, like, how could you tell that that's almost double the 60 FPS? I don't know. And it's like, so yeah, that's why, yeah, I want Digital Foundry to do it. But yeah, it's not going to give you, like, better, you know, draw distance or less pop-in. I mean, it's possible that you could have less pop-in because it will be able to have load that stuff in easier. But, but yeah, I like the idea that for a base game that doesn't have a PS4 prep, the one that I saw that does look good, really good too, is someone showed that Just Cause 3, which is notorious on Xbox and PS4 for having bad frame rate, which is why I never bought it when I was on sale, because like I wanted to get a pro patch to run at 60 or to lock the frame rate at 30 consistently and have better detail or something, because that's a game I want to go and just goof around and blow stuff up. But now with the boost feature, it runs, it seems, at a solid 30. So that's really interesting. So now they do, in the beta, they do warn that it might cause unintended effects. So I'm not sure exactly the tech behind it. It is cool that it's there. So now it's a little extra bonus for people, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, any of the games getting pro patches, at least when it launched, they're like, they didn't care about those games or they had already played those games, it didn't matter. So
Yeah.
But to be able to have these little extra stuff, I like. But granted, a lot of games I play don't traditionally suffer from frame rate dips, at least nothing crazy that I can't deal with. Someone said that apparently if you play Assassin's Creed Unity unpatched, so just installed off the disc if you have the old disc, and then play it, that you get 60 frames with boost mode on. But then, of course, you're going to have all whatever technical issues that they didn't patch out in 1.0. Because when they patched that game later on, they locked it at 30.
Yeah, because there was a lot of frame rate issues, apparently, in a lot of the busier parts of the city.
Yeah. And then I think someone did a Witcher comparison, but like I said, watching people who aren't Digital Foundry, it's just, or just regular people testing, like, it's cool to hear, but it's like, I wish I had that frame counting software, but I don't think they make it for Mac, is the problem. Because I've always looked into it, because I always be curious, like, to analyze my own footage, but, and I was going to try to do a comparison, but I didn't have any, like, I wanted to check, like, Far Cry Primal, even though that didn't have a ton of frame problems, but I checked Alien Isolation, it was the same. Because you can turn boost on and off in the menu, but it of course restarts the game just like turning HDCP on and off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a cool feature. So it reminds me of when the PS2 came out, because when you played PS1 games on PS2, it had that smoothing mode on it, where if you looked at a wall and it was all blocky squares in the texture, you can smooth it to where they're blurred circles. It was really evident in the original Metal Gear Solid, where that had, you know, the blocky walls, when you look at it in their circular blurred walls, they look a little better. So yeah, it's cool that it's coming out, and pretty quick too, which I like. It hasn't been too long since it's been out. Like I said, I'd be really interested to see exactly how it works, but yeah, I'm glad they bring that in. So, and then, let's see, is there anything else in 4.5? The external storage is cool. I like that they're doing that. I'm just curious about the speeds. So I had looked up let me find that article and say, was it
X? Are they USB 3.0?
Yeah.
Ports in the PlayStation?
Yeah, all the...
probably not terrible then.
All the ports are 3.0. It just depends on the drive. So I was looking at Xbox One, external, HDD. Okay, because I was trying to find some Xbox comparisons. And so Major Nelson back in February 2015, Major Nelson, of course, of... the Xbox side, I believe he handles their social media side, right? Anyways, he did a test on the Xbox One, where, because you can play games externally off of that. So he did a launch test, and he did four different drives. Let's see here. I'm trying to see what he put into his Xbox. So let's see. Boom, boom, boom. Please note that any hard drive that had blah, 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 blah. Okay. So he tested an internal drive. I think it's the internal stock drive on the Xbox One. So this isn't an SSD in the Xbox One. This is just the internal. But he used three different... three different hard drives with different write speeds. So he used a Western Digital that did 106 read-write speed megabits per second. And then he did a Buffalo Drive Station 4 terabyte that was a 250-270 read-write speed, and then a Red Pro RAID 0 8 terabyte drive that was a 319-318 read-write speed. So the comparisons, for example, are like booting up Assassin's Creed Unity, just the same save point, on the internal Xbox drive was 221, and then on the Western... So I'm not going to read the Western Digital, because the Western Digital is essentially the same as whatever's internal. Because I think the internals on Xbox and PS4s are either Seagate's or possibly Western Digital. I assume they're Western Digital for Xbox. But the Western Digitals are all basically the same times. Sometimes a second faster, second slower. But it's the Buffalo and the Red Pro that are significant increases. So again, the internal on Assassin's Creed Unity was 221, the Buffalo is 158, and the Red Pro is 140. For Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, the load time on the internal is 139, the Buffalo is 128, and the Red Pro is 101. Destiny is 258 on the internal, 218 on the Buffalo and 208 on the Red Pro. So that's a 50-second increase in speed on the external. Then another one would be Dragon Age Inquisition, 212 on the internal, and then 128 on the Pro, and the Buffalo is 156. Then another example, I'm trying to see a good one here. Grand Theft Auto 5 was 138 on the internal, 119 on the Buffalo, and 59 seconds on the Pro. And then Rise, Son of Rome was 155 on the internal, 119 on the Buffalo, and 113 on the Red Pro. Now, this is back in 2015, of course, so there could be better read-write speeds on EG's hard drives. He tests these hard drives on a computer first to get an average read-write speed on them. So you test them multiple times. The Red Pro, when it was available on Amazon, the 4 terabyte, was about $300. This is a 3.5-inch drive that he had to put into an external case, and the case he put it in was a StarTech USB 3.0 dual SATA 3 hard drive RAID enclosure, is what he got, and that is about $78, so he put it in there. So there's that. So it compared to the Xbox One test in 2015, the faster read-write speeds, as long as it's over 3.0, was really good and better than the internal. I'm curious what it would be against an SSD in the PS4. Now, granted, there's a possibility it could be faster, maybe, or at least close enough, because the PS4, of course, doesn't have the throughput to handle the max potential of an SSD, like a PC would, so... Because I originally think, I was like, oh, external hard drive support, that means I could just buy a low-end, like, 256 SSD, put it in the PS4, and then keep an external that's, like, an 8 terabyte, and just put the games I'm not playing on that, or, like, indie games or something, you know? I'm like, oh, I'll go back to it at some point, if the read-write speed of the game wasn't hampered that much over USB. And now that I saw the Xbox test, that means leads me to believe that, oh, well, it would either be the same as a regular hard drive, or I could have it faster, depending on the speeds of the hard drive. So I was like, so it's really interesting, and I'm hoping that Digital Foundry does a nice comparison test if they're on the beta. I hope they do one on there. I think that's available in the beta. I don't remember. There are some features that aren't. In fact, let me see what's not available. Maybe that might not be, but we're gonna have to go systems and then see view details. What's not allowed? I can't tell what's not allowed. I don't know. I think it's somewhere you're supposed to tell you what you can't do. It's cool. I like that they're doing that. But it has to be at least a 250 gigabyte minimum on the external. Let's see. I'm wondering, you can now use blah, 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 external hard drives, USB. The quick menu is now fast. Okay, these are the main features I'm just reading off here. Oh, you can also change your party from private and public while the party is still created. You don't have to get rid of the party and start over, which I like a lot, because that was always kind of frustrating. It's like, oh, I can make it public, but once I create the party, it's stuck on public. It's like, I'd like to be able to at least turn it on back onto private or something. I don't know how long the beta is going for. I'm trying to play a bunch of different games. I was a little concerned because I got into the Ghost Recon Wildland beta, and I didn't want that beta to conflict with the hardware beta, because I turned on, it's not the pro version of the game, and I turned on the boost mode. I'm like, oh, I hope the boost mode doesn't mess up the beta anyway, but haven't seen anything. Played some Dark Souls 3 last night. Didn't notice any crazy difference between Dark Souls normally and everything. I think Dark Souls hits its 30 pretty stably, so there won't be any improvements there. I haven't played... I'm trying to think of any other game I have that doesn't have a pro boost. I don't know. I don't know what else I could play that's not pro-patched, that didn't run particularly well. Like, that's the hard part. It's like, I need a game that I know didn't run well.
Or, like, a specific part that you could get back to, like, oh, I remember the frames dropped here really bad because of this effect or something.
Right, yeah, it's like I can't. It's like, okay, where am I gonna go for this? Like, there was someone said The Witcher, but it didn't really look like it was that much that much of a difference. And I can't think of, I never really suffered that many frame rate dips in The Witcher. I know before they patched in the beginning, there were some frame rate problems, but then they fixed it. Same with Bloodborne. They patched that one pretty early on in that game. But it's a nice feature to have. That means, you know, I can just buy a nice enclosure with a big hard drive and be like, good, I don't have to delete anything. I can just transfer stuff back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if it's going to, if like, if I unplug it, like, is it just, is the data hard-coded to my PS4 specifically? Like, then if I swap out the primary hard drive and reformat my PS4, if I plug in the external, it's going to be like, nah, it doesn't recognize PS4 because you reformatted, sorry. And then it's like, now I have to reformat and download again. Like, I'm curious how it's going to be tied to it. Because, you know, like, I put an external on a computer, I can plug in an external anywhere, but I don't know if it's going to be the same on the PS4. But I can put, like, I could put data on a USB, format on my hard drive, and then whatever data I want, be it save data or game footage, I could put that back on the PS4 just fine. So I'm hoping that the games won't do that. Because the OS should, in everything OS-wise, should just be on the drive. The external should just be like, here's the game, and that's it. So it should be totally good. I'm wondering then if you could, maybe it would be linked like to your account, obviously. It would have some sort of data tag on it, because then you wouldn't be able to plug it into your friends unless you signed in or something, but who knows. But yeah, looking forward to that. Messing around with it right now, and hopefully I don't run into any problems. Let's see, what else do we have? There is more PlayStation VR bundles coming. It's kind of a problem. There's a shortage, so a lot of the prices on like GameStop have been going up because there's a shortage of bundles. So they've been getting pretty pricey. I think like six something I saw on one of them.
Jeez.
Yeah, they're like, there's, you know, well, demand goes up, supply goes down, price goes up, right? But so there's the regular bundle that comes with the PSVR Worlds, and then there's a new bundle that comes with Rush of Blood. Both bundles, of course, are $4.99, which is the normal bundle price. I'm trying to see when the exact date that these come back in stock. I thought it was either later this month. I don't know, it's not in this article. This article is just about the new bundle. I think it's later this month that they come out. That's good, because I was thinking, I was like, man, I kind of want to get a bundle. I mean, I already beat Resident Evil 7, which is what I'd like to play, but so now it's like, it's not going to be as scary because I finished it. But let's see. So there's that. The other bit of news we got, there is a Final Fantasy 14 Trials of Bahamut escape room that's going to be coming out. This summer.
I want to go do it.
Yeah, it's a. This is a report from IGN. It says the experience gives you and your friends 60 minutes to stop the awakening of Bahamut, the quote primal dragon of Final Fantasy lore. Scrap Entertainment, the creator of the experience, stresses the Trials of Bahamut is not a traditional escape room, but is intended as a story based quote a story based escape event designed for puzzle fans and fans of the Final Fantasy franchise. End quote. Scribe says you and the other members of your team are, quote, heroes actually inside the story, end quote, and is just up to the players working together to solve the riddles and mysteries before the hour ends. Currently, 8 U.S. cities will host Trials of Bahamut escape rooms. For dates and more information, check out the website. So let's see here. Let's see. Oh, Stormblood's increasing the level cap from 60 to 70, huh? All right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
They're overhauling the battle system too.
That's what I heard, right? Because they don't want to have too many crazy controls or like buttons and all that jazz.
Yeah, because they're going to be adding as many, if not more, skills than you get from 50 to 60, and people immediately started crying about hot bars. And so their very next slide during the presentation was like, "We're fixing this."
I wonder how this is going to work. Like, I wonder if it's going to be something like you hit the button and you just auto start that 3 chain combo or something, or is it just gonna be like, well, we're just gonna phase the old ones out and bring them in, or they're just gonna become, instead of like a skill, it's just a trait, a default trait, like you hit and apply this effect from that skill.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do. I don't know if they're gonna go into more detail during the European Fan Fest, or if that's something that's just gonna wait and they're just gonna announce like more features and stuff.
All right, so here's the cities for the escape room. It's LA, San Francisco, Seattle, Phoenix, Houston, Orlando, Chicago, and New York. That's quite, Surprise, there's more in San Francisco. Like, I figured Los Angeles makes sense. It's weird that there's, I mean, I guess two in California makes sense. I think there is an escape room in San Francisco already. So I guess, you know, refurbishing it for this makes sense, but interesting. That's not that far. I've never done an escape room, but I don't know if I could do one that was FF14 themed. This would be interesting. It's a, it sucks that they, you can't get any footage from escape rooms. Like, I want to see it, but they don't want that out there because then that ruins it.
Yeah, they also don't like the surprise or whatever.
Yeah, they also don't like it. You like, you have like a light NDA when you play. It's like, obviously you don't want to spoil it for your friends. Like, yeah, the key's under the carpet. The numbers on the ceiling don't matter. Rotate this 30 degrees. You know, it's, you don't want to give away all that stuff. But that's interesting. Hopefully, if you do that, I can hear all about you and Michael getting frustrated with the kids who are totally failing at solving the puzzle. Like, you guys don't even play Final Fantasy.
Okay. Michael's the most least perceptive person on the planet. I don't think I would want to do an escape room.
He's like, I'm not getting
any... I love him to death, but goddamn.
I'm not getting any button prompt when I walked up to these items. How do I know they're interactable? They're not shiny. There's no quest icon. There's no exclamation.
There's an points. Item over to your right. Where? Turns left.
Yeah.
God damn it.
You're getting aggro from the other people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, that's basically it for news. There was Sniper Elite 4's pro support got listed. It's going to have a multitude of things you'd expect. No resolution, but like increase in draw distance, detail, and a bunch of other things. Then, yeah, that's not much else. I know, is it PAX going on now? Because I know RTX Sydney's going on, but isn't that, doesn't that coincide with PAX Australia?
I don't think so. I haven't heard really anything about PAX Australia, but maybe? I don't know a lot of people that are going to it, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. Because I know usually when they did the RTX stuff, they did the same time as... Actually, I thought they did, or at least like the days leading up to it, or maybe the week prior. I don't know, but I thought they were together for some reason. I know that's going on. There's an interview with Kojima or a Kojima panel that was there, but I'm hoping I get posts on a Rooster Teeth channel at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll put a video up or a journal or something about it.
Yeah. Let's see here. But yeah. Other than that, not much else. Hopefully we get some more news soon. I know, again, the beta for Wildlands is currently out. That's going on this weekend. I'm trying to think of what else comes out soon. The beta for Honor had already passed. I hear really good stuff about that game. Like, people are like, it's really good.
It looks really fun.
I think people like those like Dark Souls kind of stuff where you have to be focused and methodical with your moves kind of thing. I think they really like that.
It's like Dynasty Warriors, but you have to actually pay attention.
Yeah, I think that's probably it as far as anything else I can think of. Yeah, no easily to talk about his Resident Evil experience. Yeah, I've been watching the Achievement Hunter Let's Plays for Resident Evil 7. I was like, the first two episodes were fine. They're funny. Because I wasn't that far in the first one, so it's like seeing them go around wasn't much. But this episode is like, well, one, this episode two, they hardly accomplished anything. Because just like took them forever. I was like, you barely did anything. And then episode three, I'm like watching them, like the first 11 minutes, Michael even says, but the audience is yelling. It's like, you have the item in your inventory. Go here. God, what are you doing?
He's not even looking at the stuff he picks up half the time. He just like picks it up and runs.
Yeah.
And you can see him pick up the thing and see it in his inventory. And then he just like runs away. I'm like, they're not going to realize that they have that. And, yeah. Nope, they sure didn't.
It's like, and I can understand, like, you know, Michael wasn't past that part in his playthrough. And they did quit right after they picked up the stone statuette that turns into the spider. so then they don't realize that they have it and blah blah blah. It's like whatever, but it's just like, oh my god, this is, I'm not looking forward to them doing the boss fight because I'm like, oh, okay, this is gonna take like 3 minutes. It's like I might just skip it. I think I skipped through most of the one they did with the other guy, but I was like, I don't need to watch this. I know how it ends. I'll just watch a little bit and kind of skip around, see how long it takes them. Mm-hmm. But yeah. What sucks is, like, too, my cousin's watching it, and he's interested in picking up Resident Evil, but he doesn't know when he's going to do it. I'm like, man, but at this point, by the time you pick up, you'll get past all this stuff and won't be scary anymore because you'll know what's coming. Especially because he watched episode 3, and episode 3 had that scary moment in it that that got me and freaked me the fuck out. And I was like, nope. But so, yes, now he knows about it. I'm curious to see what happens when Jeff gets there, but yeah, it'll be... interesting. And then I'm trying to think what else. The Wildlands beta, man, that map is huge. Even the area that you play in is big, but like the overall size of the map is ginormous. I'm curious how the game's gonna do. I haven't had too many problems in the beta. I haven't played it co-op, so I don't know how, if there's any problems that pop up on the co-op side. I have had a character like die on the roof of a building that you can get on, but his character kind of clips through a wall, so I couldn't go on the roof in front of him. I had to stand below him underneath the staircase to get him. I've had that happen. I got myself stuck in a rock with a Jeep, but that was my fault. Luckily, I kind of glitched my way out of it. I was like, oh, phew, I can restart. There's no way, I think, to switch the camera when you're, you know, like how in like a game, if you aim over the shoulder, you can like typically you click in a button or hit left and right in the D-pad and you can switch shoulders. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can do that in this game, which is a little frustrating because sometimes like it does that contextual thing where if I lean against a fence and I go out to the right, the camera's over the right shoulder. And then if I start rocking to the left, the camera moves over the left shoulder. It's like, that's fine. It's contextual. I'm moving that direction. I would prefer to see the direction I'm moving in. If I lean on a corner looking on the left, I want the camera on the left. If I lean in a corner looking on the right, I want it on the right. But if I look on the left and then I back up off the wall, it stays on the left and I can't switch it back. I think it's like if I go ADS, sometimes it will. And usually it's like it doesn't happen often, but it's just that is frustrating when it doesn't do that.
Like it just kind of confuses it and it gets stuck or
it just stays on. Oh, this is what the last camera angle was over your left shoulder. So now you're going to play when you're standing with it over the left shoulder until I trigger it to go over the right. Because there's no option to click in a stick and swap cameras. You can't swap shoulders and it's super.
That doesn't seem like it's working as intended.
Yeah, it's like, and I don't see it in the controls anywhere because it's like, because of the tactical game, like every button's mapped to something that you need. So I'm like, why can't I just left click? And but it's, mm-hmm. it doesn't work. I'll have to double check, but I tried left clicking, it didn't work. I had to turn the sensitivity up like super high because it just seemed the sensitivity was like way low. I don't know why. I was like, I'm going to go up to like 75-90% on some of these because it's too low. Typically in a game I play, my sensitivity is down like 30-something%, depending on the game, yeah. Maybe 50. But this is like, that's weird. It's super low. So I turned that up. But yeah, it seems like it would be really fun co-op. Once I fixed the aim sensitivity, it didn't seem as stiff. There's a lot of stuff you can do in the world. I could definitely see having plenty of content for people to do. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I'm curious what the pro support is going to look like for it. I have to play it some more. I haven't put a ton of time into it yet. But yeah, definitely a game I could see like preferring to play it co-op, not necessarily wanting to play single player on it, just because mm-hmm. controlling the AI teammates is a little like meh. Like typically I don't even give them orders. I just go up and do everything myself.
Like, oh, so you have teammates even if you're not playing co-op?
Yeah, they're AI teammates. It's just like Ghost Recon and Future Soldier, you'll always have teammates, or Rainbow Six, you'll have teammates. AI teammates, they're always there. Because those are what your, when your friends join up, they'll take over those characters, basically. Like they're.
Okay. I was wondering about that. If it's just like you're playing by yourself and then suddenly there's other people in and it kind of like breaks the game sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they really design it to be like, oh, there's enough that four people could be doing something. Because there are a lot of times too where like you go to a base and there's these supplies you can find and you can mark them for the rebels who are, you can help their cause, then you like get points towards their factions and they can help you out. You can call them in, call in reinforcements, all that stuff. So sometimes you'll find like, oh, there's medical supplies, let me flag these for the rebels. So you go over, you put like a tracker device in it so they can find it. Now, but sometimes you go into an area and it's like there's six of them, but they're spread out. So if it's just you the whole time running around getting them, it's like, this is gonna take forever. But if all four players are running around tagging each supply, then it goes much faster. There's also a lot of times where, like, I'm trying to assault someone and they have a sync shot function, but I can't seem to get it to target more than one person. I don't know, because it has to be upgraded in single player, because there's like there's skill trees and everything and all that stuff, which is nice. So I like that progression aspect. You can customize your soldier how you want based on the skill points you get and what you want to do. So it's cool that they do that. But yeah, so like I'll go up and I'll see like, man, this mission would be so much easier if I had communication with four people or three of the people to like actually tell them, okay, you go here, and we'll take everybody out at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun so far. I'm just got to give it some more time, see how it feels. I'm curious how it'll be, like I said, how much they'll iron out from the beta, because the game does come out pretty soon, so I don't know how much time it'll give them to do any sort of major patching for like a day one patch. Yeah, we'll see. It was kind of cool, though, because then when they gave out, if people got accepted to the beta, they got codes to give out to three friends, because it makes sense, because you want to play in a squad. But yeah, well, interesting. I don't know how much more I'll give it today. I'll probably hop back into... I went back and finally started playing the Dark Souls DLC. My cousin and I played that last night, got in there. Of course, immediately we try to go in, we get invaded, right? We enter the painted world, and it's like, motherfucker. And it's like, oh, all right, we gotta deal with that. And then we're like, I put down my signs, your sign down. Yeah, I don't see your sign, I don't see yours. Man, Bloodborne had so much easier. So we had passwords said, and then everything, blah blah. And we're like, oh, well, we're not embered. That's why, because you have to be embered in Dark Souls in order to be able to see summoning signs. So he embered himself, and then I summoned in his game. We went through. Luckily, the bonfires are pretty easy to go to. So when I got to a point where either I might have died at one spot, or we take a break, I go back and I just beeline it straight to the bonfire. That way I can just, we don't have to start back at the beginning. I haven't gotten any bosses yet, but it's fun getting in there. Yeah, other than that, just been Rainbow. I know Rainbow Six Siege announced new operators, and they teased them, but they're not going to be showing them until, I believe, this weekend. Either it was yesterday or possibly today that they'll be showing them, but they're supposed to be showing the actual operators in action. There's one guy, it looks like he can see heat markers from footprints, and there's a who's an attacker, and then a defender who can put down these windows into like reinforced walls, and then it's got a one-way window, and then you can blow it up and shoot through it. So that adds in the level of a strategy, which I really like, but I don't know how many of those she can put down. It was just these quick teasers, so it'll be interesting to see these guys in action, but I don't know if that's supposed to be this weekend or not. But other than that, that's all I've been playing. What have you been playing recently?
We've been pretty much just playing Doom, and Michael started his playthrough of Final Fantasy 15, and it's just killing me, because he just wants to skip through things. And I'm like, damn it, pay attention. And he's like, they're not gonna talk the whole time, are they? When I'm just like running around, I'm like, listen to them, love them, they're precious boys.
That's fine.
But that's just basically what we've been doing. I've been kind of in a funk where I just like, I have things I can play, I just have either played them and I don't want to replay them right now, or I just want to go on 14 and sit in my friend's house and annoy him. So I don't know. I think I'm just waiting for Little Big Planet to be the free game, because I'm really looking forward to playing that.
Yeah, I can't wait to download that, because that looks like it'll be fun. So I wanted to get it back in the day, but I know I had a little bit of problems in the beginning. I think they patched out, but I forget what else was there, because I think I just bought something else. I was playing something else at the time. I don't remember. I think it came out in December. Maybe that was the same time that... was it December that it launched that it came out? The console launch, I think, maybe? Because it could have been by the time I had picked up Final Fantasy on PS4 came out. I think that December. I think that's maybe why I didn't play it. I gotta look it up, because I'm not even in the right window.
I just remember seeing it, and we got really excited because we both really love Little Big Planet. But then we were like, oh, we're going to have to buy the game and another controller. So we just never ended up picking it up.
Huh. Oh, never mind. I guess it came out in the... It came out on November 2014. Yeah, because the console launched on... Oh, now I'm getting all my days off. Man, I thought it was... When was Final Fantasy?
Welcome to my world.
I'm totally blanking. Man, I can't. This is driving me bananas. Oh. Yeah, because yeah, I thought it was a launch. I thought Little Planet was closer to launch, but I guess not. It was a year later.
Oh, yeah. No, it came out way after the console came out.
I don't know why I thought...
Because I already had a console at that point when it came out.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know FF came out on PS3 in August 2013. And I played it until PS4 came out, and the PS4... Okay, PS4 launched on April 14th. Wow, that was a lot later than I thought. Crazy. Yeah, because I know I played FF until PS4 launched, and then when PS4 launched in November, I played a bunch of PS4 games, and I don't think I went back to... I logged into both, but then I didn't really go back until it came on PS4 in April. But... I don't know, maybe, it must have been something else in 2014 that I played in November. Maybe Watch Dogs finally came out or something. I don't know, or some game. Maybe it was Assassin's Creed I was playing. But it's
probably an Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Man, I hope we get to see... I hope Assassin's Creed doesn't leak before they announce the D3. I don't see, like, every game leaks. Like, stop it. I mean, we already have an idea of what it's going to be, but I just don't want to see any box art. I don't want to see any leaked footage. Just show me the trailer. But
yeah, just stop leaking shit.
Yeah,
it's just gonna make people not want to give you like pre-information so you can have your shit ready when they actually announce stuff,
right? Well, I don't know what else to go on about. We can't really anything to talk about Final Fantasy. Don't think there's anything I wanted to say about Resident Evil
other than it's good.
Yep.
When's the DLC for it supposed to come out?
The first bit came out for PS4 last week, and then
those were the tapes, right? Like the extra puzzle rooms.
It was the basement one, which is like an escape room. Speaking of escape rooms, that's a DLC. Yeah, you playing Clancy, who's the cameraman from the from that TV show that goes to the Baker family's estate, in the first tape you find, the one that shows you how to find the secret passage in the under the fireplace or next to the fireplace. That's Clancy trying to escape this room. Then there's one that's like the basement, which is just a horde mode kind of thing. So you get this gear, like a scrap parts that you can use to buy items, and there's a machine that constantly kicks out scraps in 100 scrap intervals every little bit, and there's booby traps you can put points scraps into to arm them, or you can just hide in the room, which is what I did, and you have to survive. It's like a Five Nights at Freddy's situation where you have to survive like 6 hours. First two waves are easy, and I think by wave three I got attacked by Jack's his name, right?
The father.
Mm-hmm. And he came and attacked me. That was kind of a pain because I didn't really run out the room. There are doors you can unlock, but you have to buy corrosive spray or liquid to open up the doors. And there's a second gear machine that can give you stuff there, and you have to survive. It's really just doing all that. Then the third one is Ethan Must Die, which is essentially a roguelike mode, but the only thing that's not randomized are enemy location. They'll always be in the same spot. You can die pretty easily, but the item locations are randomized. Not locations, what you get from the boxes is randomized, rather.
Okay.
And it's in the house. Like, you enter in the house from the outside where that trailer is. And then you go in and you, like, I don't know what the objective is. I forget in that one. I didn't try that mode yet. I got to get in there and give it a go. See how that turns out. But it seems like it'd be fun. I need to finish the escape room DLC part first, though. It was funny because there's, like, so you get in, you're handcuffed to this bed, and she's like, Marguerite's trying to feed you some shitty soup. And then she walks out the room, and you get out you undo your cuff. It's pretty simple. And you get out of the bed. And then I pick up the spoon because I was like, oh, I can probably use this. But you can also interact with the soup and eat it. But once you take a sip, you get damaged, and he vomits it up, and you get like a little bit of red on your screen. And I'm like, you know what? I wonder if this is a trophy. So then I just eat another scoop, and then he vomits again and get more red. And then I eat a third one, and then he dies. but I didn't get a trophy for it. I was like, well, that's kind of disappointing.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it would be like a death by soup kind of trophy, but I guess not. I thought that was funny. It actually killed you.
The trophy pops, and it's just like, why did you do that?
But apparently that mode did the thing like where you're trying to figure out, so you're looking around the room trying to solve how to get out of it. But at random times, she'll come back into the room to check on you. So you have to put, if you moved anything, you have to put it back where it was, and you have to jump back in bed and put yourself back in the cuff and restraint before she gets into the room. So it's like a tense moment, like, oh shit, I gotta put everything back. So she doesn't know that you tried to escape and everything, and you get back in there. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But I'm not, like I said, I haven't given enough go yet. But yeah, and then the next bit of DLC, I think, comes out later, because the one that they tease at the end of the game comes out, I want to say, in the summer. Maybe. I don't remember. But I did buy the season pass. I had some extra money in my wallet anyways. I'll just buy the season pass because I want to play everything. Really good game. I definitely want to replay it so I can use the Albert pistol, I think it's called, or the Wesker pistol that you get, because that seems like it's going to be pretty dang powerful. just kill everything.
You get that when you beat the game?
If you just beat the game, yeah, you get it. And then... Oh. There you get the other thing I got, I think, was one of the... I think I got one of the defensive art ones, but I don't know how I got that. I think you get that for just reading it on normal. Then you get something you beat on if you speedrun the game. Then you get something if you collect all the items.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks when I think about it. Like, the bobbleheads, like, they're pretty hard to miss because they make noise. So I'm curious where the ones I did miss. I didn't miss that many. I think I missed... Let's see, there's 20 coins and 16 bobbleheads, I think. And I got 16 of 20, maybe it's 20 bobbleheads, 20 coins definitely. I think I got 16 of them. And then I was a few shy on the bobbleheads. And so that bugged me. I was like, damn it, how did I miss them?
There were a few of them that were really well hidden.
Oh, I remember which ones they were. Okay, they were one, there was one in a, you climb down a ladder, but then if you look back up the shaft you climb down, he's on like a 2x4 that's holding up the cave wall. There's that one, because I kind of went back. I figured it must be at the end of the game. I missed it. So I missed that one. And then I think there was another one where it was a similar thing where you might not necessarily hear it because he's up on something unless you go against the wall directly below it so you can hear his head bobble. I think I missed that one. I think those are two that were just kind of hidden that I couldn't get or that I didn't come across. And I forget where the other one was. But yeah, the bummer. I was like, damn it. I was doing so well, finding like, here's another one. It's like, oh, and then at the end of the game, it's like, this is how many you found. I was like, oh, I was so close. But, yeah. All right. Well, we need a secret word, I guess, because there's not much else. So let's see. Last time it was, I believe, snow, wasn't it? Yeah, because we did water, then we did snow. We'll probably do some like ice. No, I don't know. Okay, we need something.
What's on my desk? I have... a stress ball that looks like ADS.
Stress ball.
I have a unicorn.
We'll do stress ball.
Okay.
Everybody needs one of those. So stress ball is the secret words for this week. All right. Well, hopefully we'll have some more news. Maybe, like I said, hopefully maybe Digital Foundry will show some coherent videos for the external drive. Like I said, I believe that should be active in this beta. Again, I know some stuff isn't, but
that would be a good thing to have in a beta, so people can test it and find problems and
make sure it works. But
yeah,
All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in, and thank you, Zai, for joining.
Uh-huh.
And we will see you guys next time.